First Kings this morning. First Kings chapter number 19 in your Bibles this morning. First Kings chapter number 19 in your Bibles this morning. First Kings chapter number 19 in your Bibles this morning. First Kings chapter number 19 in your Bibles this morning. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter number 19 and verse number 1, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not the life of make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him, and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. The angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise, eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God." Father, would you work now in this time of preaching? I pray that you would work and just convict our hearts. Father, strengthen us. Lord, as we look at coming off of the mountaintop, I pray that we would learn some valuable truths that can transform and change our lives. Father, help us to get some victory this morning. If there's one today that's never been saved, Lord, they're not sure they're on their way to heaven, may today be the day of salvation for them. In Jesus' name I thank you. Amen. I think about the past week here at Huntsville Bible Baptist Church, we have just seen God do some wonderful, awesome things. I think about this week, you know, started last Sunday with, well, really started about a month ago with Miss Ann starting with the decorations, and Miss Eloise with your broken foot helping them out, and Miss Janice, I think about how all your involvement, and my wife, and Miss Danielle, and really for the last month it's been planning for Vacation Bible School. And then we had it last week, and boy, God did some wonderful things. We came together, and man, souls were saved, and man, hearts were encouraged. But, you know, I think about the reality is many of us are tired. I mentioned in Sunday school, I've talked to 5 people this week that have made the statement, I'm tired. And we just had a wonderful, could we say, mountaintop experience. Men, souls were saved, hearts were encouraged, we're pumped up about what God's doing, and now we're kind of in a time of a valley, we could say. It's a time of man, excitement. I remember when I was growing up, man, we would sometimes go to the theme parks, and we're planning for a week. We're looking forward to that theme park, that roller coaster, the cotton candy, the Coca-Cola, you know. And man, that day would come, we would go, and it'd be like this big letdown a week after, you know, for a week after, you know, anticipation, and then all of a sudden you're down in the valley of despair. Hey, that is exactly what has taken place here in 1 Kings chapter number 19. You understand 1 Kings chapter number 16 is really when the story starts, when Ahab, the king of Israel, decided to rebel against God. And of course, we know Ahab married that sweet, dear wife called Jezebel. And I've only met dogs named Jezebel, and they act like Jezebel. I've never met an individual named Jezebel. But Ahab and Jezebel, the Bible says they were wicked. And the Bible says that Ahab and Jezebel, they did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. Ahab was one bad dude, walked away from God, introduced Baal worship as a national religion to the Israelites. And we come to 1 Kings chapter number 17, and Elijah, the man of God, steps on the scene. By the way, I like Elijah. You say, Pastor, why is that? Because Elijah was not a man that took surveys on what to preach on. He was a man that stood up with the word of God and declared, Thus saith the Lord. And he stood before Ahab and he said, Ahab, there will not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And then the Bible says Elijah went after preaching at the White House, we could say. He preached to the king. The Bible says he went by that brook Cherith. And there by that brook Cherith, God used the ravens to feed Elijah. The water there sustained him until one day the water ran dry. And God said, all right, I want you to go up to Zarephath. There's a widow woman that's going to take care of you and to feed you and nourish you until the time that I'm going to deal with the Israelites. And so he goes up there. You know the story how that little lady, widow woman, was getting that last those last sticks together. She was going to make her final meal. And then her and her son, they were going to die. And Elijah said, if you take care of me first, then God will sustain you. And there for that amount of time, there God sustained Elijah there at Zarephath. Finally, God said, all right, Elijah, now it's time. 3.5 years you've been in hiding. 3.5 years you've been in prayer. 3.5 years you've seen me provide for you. 3.5 years you realize that God is true to his word. Now I want you to go and I want you to meet up with Ahab and I want you to prove to Israel that I am truly Jehovah God. And so the story goes in chapter number 18. They come together. They're on Mount Carmel. Elijah said to Ahab, he said, I want you to call all your prophets of Baal. And we're going to have a contest to see whose God is really God. And there on that day, the prophets of Baal stood. And they had 400 false preachers with them. And they tried to get fire to fall from heaven. Man, they laid that sacrifice out. They cried. They were cutting themselves on that altar. They're screaming. Elijah, the man of God's making fun of them. He says, maybe he's on a journey. Hey, maybe you're false God sleeping, cry a little bit louder, and yet still no response. The Bible says that as it came time for the evening sacrifice that Elijah repaired the altar of the Lord. The Bible says that he took 12 big old barrels of water and he soaked the altar, poured it out. The trench was overfilled with water, just soaked that sacrifice. And Elijah, the man of God, prayed a short little prayer. He said, God, would you prove yourself to your people? Would you show that you're truly God? And the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter number 18 and verse 38, when he finished praying, that the fire of God fell and it consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Fire fell from heaven. And the Bible says when the people saw it, what did they see? They saw God show up. They saw God do something that God had not done before in their day and time. They saw God stirring and God moving. And when they saw God show up, they fell on their face and they said, the Lord, he is the God. Elijah said, all right, if that's true, then let's kill these false prophets. They kill the false prophets. Elijah goes back on top of Mount Carmel. He prays 7 times. God, would you send the rain? God sends the rain. Elijah starts to run back to the capital city where the palace is at. He outruns Ahab in his chariot just through the power of Almighty God resting upon his life. Elijah has had a whirlwind of excitement and experience here in 1 Kings chapter number 18 and verse in chapter number 19. But as we come to chapter number 19, would you notice first of all this morning, would you notice the enemy's response to what God did? It says in verse number 1, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. And with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. I think it was pretty obvious when Ahab comes home. Can't you see that scene in your mind, by the way? You know, here the rain has finally fallen. It's been 3.5 years since rain fell from heaven. No dew had accumulated. I mean, bone dry. And all of a sudden, here's this big old rainstorm. Kind of like last night. By the way, wasn't that awesome? You know, that was the first Alabama rainstorm I was able to experience that was not related to church. It's amazing how the storms come in right at 6:30 for Wednesday night prayer meeting, right? It's amazing, all right? That was the first one that I was able to go on the porch and be like, that's cool, you know, and to feel the wind blowing through my hair and thinking, man, I hope there's no tornado, you know? I mean, this was a real deal, right? But, man, that's exactly what took place there with the Israelites. Man, the rain fell, probably sideways, winds blowing, knocking the trash cans over, you know, just, I mean, as you know, little kid running around the street corner. I mean, it was awesome, you know? And Ahab comes home, he's probably soaking wet. Probably the mud from the hooves of the horses are caked on him. And I see him walk inside, and there's sweet Jezebel, you know. I see her kind of with the pink fluffy robe on, you know, big old pink fluffy slippers, and standing right there at the door, and she says to Ahab, you're not going to track mud through this house, right? And you take your shoes off right there, Ahab, and you go get a bath. Yeah, can't you see that? See, I don't know how she sounded, but she probably sounded really, you know, probably had a real long nose and probably flew on a broom, you know, in my mind, right? And take your shoes off, go and get a shower, you know. And man, he goes, gets a shower, and there Jezebel has oatmeal, because oatmeal's awful, you know. And she's like, eat your oatmeal, you know. And as they're eating their oatmeal, I don't know if that's how it happened, but forgive my imagination. But man, they're eating, you know, and Ahab tells her all that took place. Hey, look outside. The rain's falling. Well, what happened? Well, Elijah showed up and he prayed and fire fell from heaven and God did some great things. And the Bible says he told her all that Elijah had done. And then at the end of verse number 1, it says, and how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Man, that is the icing on the cake. Here's what Elijah did, but you know what, Jezebel? Great news, we finally have rain, but I've got some bad news. Hey, you know the 400 prophets that you were feeding? Well, you don't have to worry about feeding them anymore because Elijah killed all of them. He took care of the business. Man, Elijah wiped them out. You know about bad news for Jezebel? What happened? Jezebel got mad. You know, I think about the reality of our church. Church is amazing what God has done here in the last 5 months at this church. I just jotted this down. I said, Satan looks at at this church, and he is aware that we have had over 100 visitors in the past 5 months. You realize that? I've been keeping track. We've had over 100 visitors this past month. He knows that we saw three kids saved this last week. He is aware that we have knocked on over 5,000 doors, and that we have had multiple visitors come through that soul-winning outreach. He knows that we are seeing visitors each week, and folks are joining this church. He knows that our desire, and my desire as a pastor, is one day to start another church out of this church here in the greater Huntsville area. Hey, Satan knows what we're doing. Let me just say, there are many churches here in this area that meet on Sunday. They got the church sign out front, and Satan is not bothered by them. You know why? Because they're content to just coast by. They're content to have their little social meeting, their social club, and they are not doing anything for God, reaching folks with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me say, when we step out by faith, and we say we're going to do a vacation Bible school, and we say we're going to go knock doors, and we say we're going to be involved, inviting people to church, let me just say, we have put a bullseye on this church, and Satan is going to do everything in his power to get this church sidetracked. He's going to try to get you sidetracked. He's going to get you discouraged. He's going to throw those darts at your marriage. He's going to throw those darts at your work. He's going to try to disrupt the flow because Satan realizes that God is doing something here at Huntsville Bible Baptist Church. And that is exactly what's taking place in Elijah's life. I'm talking about he's pumped up. I'm talking about he comes in the church house and he just starts shouting glory, doing cartwheels because God is moving and working. And all of a sudden, here he's on fire for God. And look in verse number 2 and notice what happens. It says this. It says, then Jezebel, the enemy, we could say then Satan, all right? Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. We see number 1, the enemy. The enemy realized what God was doing. But notice the reaction of the enemy. What do? They said, you know what? We're going to wipe them out. Man, we are going to try to take care of business. We are going to deal with this issue. And so they said, she said, I'm going to seek your life tomorrow about this time. We're going to do what we can to take care of you. So we see the enemy's reaction. There was anger and there was vengeance. But notice the man of God's response in verse number 3. It says, and when he saw that, what did he see? He saw the news. He heard what was taking place. It says, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. I see, first of all, here the man of God's response. What did he do? First of all, he responded to the critics instead of going to God. Hey, church, can I just remind you this morning, as we come off the mountaintop of Vacation Bible School, as we go through the different valleys and mountaintops of our life, hey, let's make sure that we're not responding to the critics. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine a couple days ago, maybe last week, and he's up in West Virginia really having some battles in this church, and he told me this. He said, preacher, he said, I most of the time will hear the critics. He said, but very rarely do I respond to the critics. He said, I'm not going to sit around and let the critics influence me. He said, if they're saying something true, he said, then I'm going to deal with it. But he said, if not, he said, I'm not going to respond to the critics. You know what we do so many times when it comes to our lives? Boy, we do something for God. I know my wife made some stuff back there today, so I can pick on my wife. But you say, well, Pastor, I made the brownies last week. I made, the egg McMuffins, all right? I made something for back, and somebody didn't like it, you know? What's our response? Our response is, well, we go back at them. You know, well, you just don't like me, and we take everything personally. Hey, listen, what was Jezebel upset about? She was upset about what God was doing. And she took out that anger and venom on Elijah, the man of God. Listen, friend, don't respond to the critics in your life. Don't respond to those that are negative about your walk with God. Hey, if you're striving to win people to Christ, if you're striving to do something for God, then just get up and go. Don't quit because somebody doesn't appreciate you or pat you on the back and say, good job all the time. Keep your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He responded to the critics instead of going to the Savior. The Bible says that we ought to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We have to set our affections on things above and not on things of this earth. Not try to fix it, not try to focus on me, but know we need to be focused upon the Savior. Number 1, he responded to the critics instead of going to God. Number 2, look in verse number 3. It says, and when he saw that he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah. Notice that last statement. And left his servant there. Number two, I see Elijah isolated himself. What did he do? He left all the friends. He left all the godly counselors. He left that servant that had his back. He left the people that knew him, that prayed for him. Listen, Christian, when coming off the mountaintop, it's not a time to quit church. It's not a time to drop out on church. It's not a time to, No, it's a time to surround yourself with godly influences. That's what, you know what? You call a godly ladies. You call godly men. You text. You get together for coffee. You encourage each other in the things of God. The Bible says that iron sharpeneth iron. And what did Elijah do? He ran from the servant. He ran from the people that knew him, and he isolated himself. And what happens when we isolate ourselves? Boy, all the thoughts start running to our mind. And really the problems start to grow bigger and bigger and bigger. Instead of being grounded in the reality, he isolated himself. Number one, he responded to the critics. Number two, he isolated himself. Look in verse number four. It says, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And what happened? He had a pity party. You realize that? What did he do? He came and he sat down under a juniper tree. He was discouraged. Hey, could I say he was depressed? I know we live in a day and time when depression is something, well, that's a taboo, let's not talk about it. Let me just be honest with you, folks. You read in the Bible, there were people that got depressed. There were people that got discouraged. That's why the Bible says, be not weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Hey, can I say there have been times in my life, and my wife will testify to this, that I have gone through valleys. She's gone through valleys while doing something for God. I think about here, you know, Sunday night through Wednesday night. I told Christy, and I think I told you, Miss Janice, that this is what we experienced Thursday, that many of you told me you're tired. And that's what we would face as we would preach revival meetings. Man, you give yourself for Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, fired up for God. Souls are being making decisions for God. Man, spiritual things are taking place. And then it's just like the bottom drops out. And woe is me. You know, they mess up your order at Dunkin' Donuts. You know, the cat, you know, steps on your toe and you kick the cat, you know, and you get a flat tire and you back into somebody and you know, whatever the story may be, right? It's just a mess and you're just like, what in the world is taking place? Hey, what did Elijah do? He went and he focused on himself. He had a pity party. Let me just say to Christians this morning, pity parties are for kids. And when my kids have them, we deal with them right away, right? I think about Lila Joy. She got in trouble the other day. And every time she gets in trouble, it's always funny. But she goes and she sticks out her lower lip in timeout. Or, you know, we do, by the way, we do all different things, all right? Timeout, cleanup, spankings, you name it. We do everything. Find the kids. I like finding the best because I get money. But you know, it's like, you know, Lila, you know, I can't deal with you right now, so go sit right there and wait till daddy comes and deals with you, right? So she goes and sits there, and she has this big old poochie lip. You know what I'm talking about, how kids get, I mean, stick it out like Eeyore, you know what I'm talking about? And I sometimes look at her and I laugh, and I'm like, no poochie lip, put a smile on your face or you're in bigger trouble than not having one, you know? And finally she puts that smile on her face. But you know, poochie, you know, an attitude and that state of pity party is just a bad place to be. Can I ask you this morning, what tree are you sitting under? You say, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, the Bible says that he came and he sat under a juniper tree. I see this was a tree of discouragement. Are you letting discouragement influence you? You know, the leadership, Ahab and Jezebel, they were against the man of God. I'll be honest with you, church. I don't ever want to be, as your pastor, against you. I don't ever want you to feel that way. But I know there's been times in my life where leadership has come down hard on me. I remember one time I was working at a church in Connecticut, and the pastor just really, really tore into me, really discouraged me. And the leadership, listen, I don't want to, that's not my goal, but there are times when the leadership will discourage you. Listen, don't let leadership discourage you. Don't sit under the tree of discouragement. I think about the unnamed prophet. Remember he came and he cried against the altar when they were worshiping the false gods. And the Bible says he cried against the altar and preached a message. The altar was ripped apart. The king said to the unnamed prophet, he said, I want you to come home with me. I want you to refresh yourself. I'm going to give you a reward. And that an unnamed prophet said, no, sir, God told me to come preach this message and come back home another way. Well, he leaves, and there's a prophet in that city that went after that man of God. You know where he came and found him? He found him sitting under an oak tree. I wonder this morning, are you sitting under an oak tree of disobedience? God told that prophet, you go home another way, don't stop, don't delay. You preach a message, you go back home a different way. And he disobeyed, and because he disobeyed, he died an untimely death because he sat under the oak tree of disobedience. I might be preaching to somebody this morning, and boy, you're living in sin. You're living in sin and that woe is me. You're not going forward for God. You just come off the mountaintop and all of a sudden the battles have been raging. The temptations have been there and you've caved into your lust. You've caved into your flesh. You've caved into your pride of life. And boy, we get our head full of who we think we are. Listen, get all away from the tree of disobedience and go on for God. Maybe I'm preaching to somebody this morning and you're sitting under the tree of debate and denial. There in John 1:46, Jesus, I was speaking to Nathanael, and Jesus said to Nathanael, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. And while Nathanael was sitting under that fig tree, Philip came to him and said, listen, Nathanael, we have found the Christ. We found the one we're looking for. And he's from Nazareth. And Nathanael said, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? He was full of denial and doubt. I might be preaching to somebody this morning. That's where you're at. Doubting, discouraged, denial. Hey, I'll tell you what, where I want to be. I don't want to be under the tree of depression, the tree of disobedience, the tree of denial and debate. I'll tell you where I want to be. I want to be like the Shunammite girl. I want to be under that tree of blessing. I want to be where, as they say down south, I want to be near the spout where the glory comes out, right? I want to be in a place that God's moving and God's working, where I am receiving the benefits and the blessings of serving God. He was a man of God doing something for God, and he came and sat under that juniper tree and said, God, I just want to die. I don't want to keep on going forward for God. We see the enemy. We see the man of God and his response. But notice in verse number 5, notice the solution to coming off of the mountaintop. All right? He had a great experience. The enemy came after him. Woe is me. Down in the dumps of despair, responded to the critics. He isolated himself. He had a big old pity party. What's the solution? You say, Pastor, that's where I'm at. I'm under the juniper tree, lollipop in this side of the mouth, the passage in this side of the mouth, and I have my little blankie rolled up underneath my sleeve. I'm woe is me. How do I get out of that? How did Elijah do that? Notice lastly this morning, notice the solution from coming off the mountaintop. Look in verse number 5. It says, and as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. Let me just say this physically. Hey, nothing wrong with taking a nap. Nothing wrong with taking a nap. Don't run all over the place and then just listen, rest. I think about there in John when the disciples, remember Jesus sent the disciples out, they're preaching, they're teaching, people are getting saved, people are the demons are being cast out, healing people. I mean, great things are happening. They came back to Jesus. Look what we're doing. What did Jesus say to the disciples? He said, come apart and rest for a while. Listen. Don't get on Facebook. Don't go cut your grass and do all that stuff. Rest. Spend some time just chilling out. And what happened in verse number 5, and this is just in the Bible, all right? Arise and eat at the end of verse 5. Number 2, get a good meal. All right? Don't eat candy. I'm on a sugar crash right now because all the airheads. And listen, that's not healthy for me. Ice cream, big old bowl of ice cream is not healthy, all right? So just what did Elijah do? He rested and he ate something good. But I want you to see the spiritual side, all right? How do we get out of the spiritual, that valley? Look in verse number 8. It says in verse number 7, the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Remember, how to get out of that spiritually out of the valley of despair? Number 1, you got to make sure you return to God. What did he do in verse 8? The Bible says that he went to Horeb, the Mount of God. Horeb was a very special place in the Word of God. And it was a place where Israel met with God. Let me just say, child of God, this morning, you better make sure that you set up some Horebs in your life. You better make sure you set up that mountain where you can go with God, and you can get alone with God, and you can rest with God, and you can talk to God. You better make sure that you get to that place where you're going and returning back to God. Because somewhere along the lines, we've got our focus off. Somewhere along the lines, we've responded to the critics. We're just pity party. We're just, spiritually drained. We've got to make sure that we are going and getting the source of the Word of God as our food and sustenance. I wonder, are you right with God? Are you close with God? Are you in tune with God? Number 1, he returned to God. Number 2, in verse number 9, we see he responded to the Word of God. Verse 9, And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire a still small voice. Number one, he returned to God. Number two, he responded correctly to the word of God. What did he do? God said, go to Horeb. He went to Horeb. There in that mountain, what happened? Man, there was the wind, there was the fire, there was the earthquake. But where was God? God was not in the great acts. God was in the still small voice. Let me just say, child of God, this morning, we better make sure that not only are we returning to God, but we better make sure we're responding correctly to the word and to the will of God for our lives. What did God place an emphasis on? He did not place an emphasis upon the great miracles. He placed an emphasis upon a relationship. Hey, I wonder this morning, is your relationship with God right, or are you just focused on all that you're doing for God? I got to check myself. Am I focused on knocking doors, witnessing to people, a vacation Bible school, a preaching, of the music? Is it on my deeds, or is it upon my relationship with God? You know what he had to do? He had to get in tune to the Word of God. Hey, child of God, make sure you don't neglect your Bible. Make sure that today you go home, if you haven't read your Bible this morning, make sure you go home today and you crank it open and you just let God speak to you. You say, God, open mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Listen, if you're making it through the day without the Word of God being a part of your life, you're going to struggle. Spiritually, you'll be up and down. If the Word of God is not your consistent source of food and strength and help, then listen, you will struggle and battle and fall flat on your face. Why? Because it's like Job said. He said, I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You better make sure that you are in tune to the word of God. And God said to Elijah there, and he said, Elijah, hey, Elijah, tune into me. 11, he said, go forth and stand upon the mountain. He did that. In verse 11 at the end, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. At the end of verse 12, after the fire, a still small voice. Where was God? God was in the spoken word. Hey, we've got the word of God. Get in the word. He responded to the word, but number two, it says in verse 13, and it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the end of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. I see. Not only did he listen to the word of God, but I see that he communicated with God. Child of God, make sure when you're overwhelmed, make sure when you're in the valleys, to spend extra time on your knees in prayer. Make sure that you're going to God in prayer. Make sure that you're spending that time. And look in verse number 18. So we see number one, the solution, he returned to God. Number two, he responded to the word of God. Look at verse number 15. It said, the Lord said unto him, go, return on the way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, he said, shalt thou anoint to be the prophet in thy room? And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. And what did he do? He got busy doing what God called him to do. Elijah, you're not called to sit on the back side of the mountain. You've come apart, you've rested. Now I want you to go anoint the next king over Israel, go anoint the next king over Judah, and I want you to go and anoint Elisha to be the next prophet. Hey, child of God, not only should we make sure we're returning to God, not only should we be responding to the Word of God, but make sure you're busy doing what God's called you to do. Your call is not to sit on the sidelines now. You say, well, Pastor, I did crafts, I did the snacks, I did games, I did this in vacation. Look at what I did. All right, praise God for the past. You know what? It's our job to keep on going. It's our job to put the gas pedal down. We regroup, and now we're going to go forward for God. He responded and remembered what God had called him to do. And verse number 8, this one, we'll close with this verse. It says, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. What did God say to Elijah? He said, Elijah, you know what? I know what you've done. I know all the labor. I know all that the effort that you put into, the ministry that I've called you to. And Elijah, you feel like you're the only one. Truth be told, there's been times in my life when I felt like I was the only one. Nobody at work stands for God. My neighbors are just doing their own thing, living for the world. My family's crazy, and nobody understands. What did God say to Elijah? He said, listen, Elijah, there's still 7,000 which have not bowed the knee to Baal. You're not the only one. And Christian, this morning, you're not the only one that may be struggling. You're not the only one that may be on the mountaintop. You're not the only one that is where you're at this morning. There are others that are in the same state you're in. And rejoice in that fact. And then claim the promises of God and say, you know what, God, I'm going to go forward for you, claiming the victory, because I realize that all things work together for good. And I realize that God has a plan for me. And my job is to simply be busy doing the work that God's called me to do. So can I ask you this morning, child of God, where are you at? Are you on the mountaintop? Are you in the valley? Or are you plugging away, plowing, doing what God's called you to do? Hey, wherever you're at this morning, let's make sure we take these principles. And maybe you say, Pastor, I'm not in the valley of despair, all right? You'll be there one day. You'll be discouraged sometime soon. All right, so what do? We take the truths. Hey, we make sure we don't isolate ourselves. Make sure we're not responding to the critics. Make sure we're not having a pity party. Make sure that we're returning to God, responding to His Word, busy doing what God's called us to do. And we're rejoicing in the fact that we're not alone doing what God's called us to do. So child of God, let's claim the victory this morning. Let's remember that verse that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your Word today. And I thank You so much for what You have done in our lives this past week. Thank You for meeting with us. Thank You for all that You're doing. And yet, Father, truth be told, some of us are tired. Some of us are discouraged. Some of us may be in the valley. Lord, I pray this morning that Your Word would really help us. God, I pray that we would leave away from the valley today and we would get our eyes focused upon You this morning. Lord, help us to have the victory as we leave today. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And in just a moment, we're going to stand and have a time of invitation. But I wonder this morning how many would say, Pastor, I needed that message today. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. But maybe I've been discouraged. Maybe just, you know, kind of having a pity party. Maybe I'm isolating myself. I don't know. But preacher, I've been discouraged. God's used His Word this morning in my life. Would you pray for me? I need to claim that victory. If that's you, would you slip your hand up all over the room? Preacher, God spoke to my heart. Number of hands. Man, praise God for that. Praise God for that. Good. Anybody else, Pastor, that's me. Needed that message this morning. Pray for me. Here's my hand. I wonder, lastly, would there perhaps be one that say, Pastor, I'm not saved. I'm not sure this morning if I died, I'd go to heaven. But I know Jesus died for me on the cross when He rose again. And I need to be born again this morning. Would you pray for me, Pastor? I'm not sure I'm saved. But I want to get that settled this morning. Pray for me. Here's my hand. If that's you, would you slip your hand up? Anybody at all, I won't embarrass you, but I'd like to pray for you. Pastor, you need to get saved this morning. Pray for me. Pray for me. Well, Father, thank You for working today. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit being present. Thank You that You are doing something wonderful here. Now help us, Lord, to claim Your Word. Lord, let us get our focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ. In Your precious name I ask it. Amen.